Grace, greetings. Welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for June the 10th. I want to encourage you to go over and check out our latest study in the book of John. If you're following along with that series, it posts on Wednesdays as well. Wednesdays is one of 2 days in the week that we do two audio drops. You can watch the video of that at PWM YouTube page. Go to YouTube, search PWM, or of course, paulwhiteministries.com. Or you can listen to the audio only, same place you're getting this podcast. You'll also find the studies in John that would be lesson 93. We are concluding the 14th chapter of the book of John. Well, here on the DDP, we are starting the 10th chapter of 2 Corinthians. And I want to start in verse 1. I want to read all 6 verses of what is a passage on spiritual war. You could say spiritual warfare. And we're not probably going to get out of those 6 verses today, but I do want to read them all so you get the full context. We'll come back and start to work this ground. Now, I, Paul, myself, am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am lowly among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beg you that when I'm present, I may not be bold with that confidence by which I intend to be bold against some who think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Now, there's a couple of things worth bringing out in the overall context here. And the first thing is something we've talked about over and again in both 1 and 2 Corinthians, and that is Paul's nature of being one thing in person and another thing on the page. Sometimes Paul seems to fear that if he were in the flesh, he would be too angry, say things he regrets. We get a little bit of that at the beginning of this book. But most of the time, Paul feels as if it's better for him to write than to be there, because he doesn't seem to present himself as a real good public speaker or having a very good voice. Either he has a self-confidence issue or he really does know how to spot his own deficiencies. Either way, it seems as if, according to verse 1, in presence I'm lowly, in absence I'm bold. So by his own admission, he doesn't feel like the same guy away as he does there. And that's not entirely uncommon. We, with people who are good communicators on the page, are not always good communicators in person. And certainly we know that to be true vice versa. There's a lot of great public speakers, good communicators, who aren't originators of good thought. They don't write well, but they can read anything. They also make good voiceover employees, because they can read someone else's stuff and make something happen with it. But that's not, I don't think, what Paul's talking about. He does recognize that he isn't much in person, but is something on the page. And he asks them to help him with it. I beg you that when I'm present, I don't want to be bold with the confidence that I intend to be bold with. In other words, let me try to resolve some of this stuff now on paper, so that when I get there, I don't have to be bold. I can embrace what I am. That might be something worth thinking about today, is that we should embrace what we are instead of always so worried about what we're not. Fix the areas you can fix. Improve what you can improve. But accept who you are and what you are. Why would you not accept it? Refusal to accept, it's going to make you miserable anyhow. So Paul's like, look, I am what I am. I'd rather be what I am. I don't want to be something I'm not. Let's resolve this stuff now so that I can be who I really need to be when I get there. And some of you think I'm walking according to my flesh. I walk in it, but he actually says we, the pronoun we. We walk in it, but we don't war according to it. So when he says we walk in the flesh, he doesn't mean we walk fleshly, we walk sinful. He means literally we live in a physical fleshly frame, but we don't war according to the flesh. Please hear that. Don't think it's just contextually specific. It is specific, but it's not only, because Paul's talking about the general warfare in the spirit of the believer, and he says, we don't war according to the flesh. Christianity is not a war according to the flesh. Nothing in us wars according to the flesh. We don't have the same response mechanism as the world. Jesus taught us this. You know, the whole don't resist an evil person. Get smitten on the cheek, turn to him the other one also. He doesn't just mean it metaphoric, he means it. Our weapons are not according to the flesh. Now, a lot of people get excited with fleshly weapons. They may not feel like it's the weaponry of the Christian, but they sure do get a lot out of watching those weapons go to work. And it's almost as if we have allowed ourselves to celebrate violence if it's perpetuated by the state, as long as it's in defense of freedom or good or liberty. And we do that, I think, a lot of times based on Romans 13, where the powers, you know, the things that are happening on this earth ordained by God. I think sometimes that's a misreading, by the way. I think that Romans is anti-empirical, not pro-empirical. But I think that, definitely it's anti-empirical. There's no pro-empirical Christianity. It's not possible. You can't be pro-beast and pro-slaughtered lamb at the same time. I'm getting sidetracked there. That happens from time to time. But in any case, there's no such thing as the weapons that are fleshly for the believer. And he says it that way in verse 4. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal or of the flesh, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Now, tomorrow we're going to talk about, we're going to work through some of these things that Paul says the weapons of our warfare are for. But I want to close today with what they're not for. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. When Paul gives that listing in Ephesians 6 of what we call the whole armor of God, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, Paul, he doesn't have us offensive. We stand in the evil day. Even when we pick up the sword in the whole armor of God passage, it's the word of God. The sword of the Spirit is the word of God. The sword of the Spirit is not violent resistance. The sword of the Spirit is not retaliation. The sword of the Spirit is what comes out of our mouth. So Paul doesn't have room for the weapons of Christianity to be carnal or fleshly or tangible in any way. He doesn't qualify it either. He doesn't say, but sometimes if they're used from a good place, then it's okay to use fleshly weapons. No. Our warfare is not a fleshly warfare. It's mighty in God to pull down strongholds. And again, I want to work through what it's for as we start the podcast tomorrow. But I want you to just think about this today, what it's not for. Our weapons are not to be used in the flesh. Christianity cannot applaud the use of the weapon in the flesh because it's foreign to who we are, and it's anti-Christian in every way because it doesn't look like Jesus. If it's not proceeding from our mouth, it doesn't look like our leader. We'll talk about what they're for tomorrow. See you then. God bless.